Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Holy shit, man. I'm just reading Brian Kelly's incentives on his LSU contract.
Are they absurd?
Oh, dude, you thought Lincoln Riley's was crazy. Did you see those?
I did not.
Oh, good. We'll save it for the show. This dude, I can't wait until the show starts. This dude gets 100% of his remaining salary if they fire him after he wins a title. So if he wins a title at LSU and then they fire him, he gets 100% of his remaining salary. If he's fired without cause, he gets 90% of the remaining salary. Base salary is 10 years, $95 million. He gets $75K if he makes it to the SEC championship game, or $150K for winning it. $500K longevity bonus annually. $500K for being bowl eligible. $100K for a New Year's Six bowl appearance, or $200K for a playoff appearance, or $300K for a national title appearance, or $500K for winning it all. $50K for SEC Coach of the Year. $75K for National Coach of the Year. Academic achievement bonuses of $25,000 each. He owes $2 million to LSU if he leaves on his own. He also receives two courtesy vehicles and two vehicle allowances of $1,000 a month. Interest-free home loan of 20% of the home price up to $1.2 million. And then he gets 50 hours per year of private jet time on LSU's jets.
My man gets all the money and then doesn't have to pay for shit with it.
Well, 20%. He gets a home for 80% of its value, up to $1.2 million.
Right, but interest I'm saying, free. Like, if he's winning football games and he was like, you know, I'm really struggling to pay my rent, LSU wouldn't step in and just buy the house for him.
Right. Like, which I guess, now reading that, Lincoln Riley's is definitely crazier because they just bought him a house.
That's what I'm saying. Like, saying that Lincoln Riley stuff, I was like, that's absurd. They bought houses in Oklahoma? What the fuck?
Two of them at $500,000 over market price.
Oh, my God.
They were like, wait, what are you selling these for?
Can you imagine the real estate agent who's like, yeah, I got USC on the phone, like the fucking school. They want to buy your house for an absurd amount.
You're selling it for $2 million. They want to buy it for $2.5 million. So should we say yes to this offer, Lincoln? Just making sure. That would have been awesome if they used that as leverage to get even more out of a different buyer. Like, we've got somebody who's offering $2.5 million.
What would be really fantastic is if they were like slum ass people that live there, and like the house was actually overvalued, and then like USC bought these crap ass houses from Lincoln Riley, and they're like, what the fuck, bro? You stuck us with the bill, man. Turns out the house is only worth like a mil each. Termites everywhere and shit. They walk in, there's just shit on the wall. It's like, what the fuck?
Lincoln Riley's just a hoarder, and there's just like wall to wall garbage.
I hate you two right now for turning this like coaching carousel shit into some old man home buying, selling whatever nonsense. Like,
dude, it's not us. That's in their contracts.
No, I mean, we're just talking how absurd the Lincoln Riley stuff is.
But sitting here talking about how you're going to leverage the buyer against the other buyer, like, come on.
Oh, yeah, you got to be smart about that. You got to be smart about that.
It's a seller's market. You got to make everything you can, baby.
If I'm that
bubble's going to pop any day now.
If I'm that real estate agent.
As if they're not going to make every dollar they can. It's Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley. Have you seen them?
What I'm saying is, if you're the real estate agent and somebody's coming in and they're like, hey, USC is buying this house for $500,000 over asking, you're not going to go to another seller and be like, you want to make an offer? This is what we have in place. You want to try to beat it? It's yours if you beat it.
No, because
or even better.
This, no, no. But see, again, this is again where you boys miss the forest for the trees, because again, those two cheap assholes aren't having someone sell their house for them. They're doing it themselves. What's that? You want a commission check? Get the fuck out of here. I'll do it myself, says Brian.
Hold up.
Well, what?
Hold up. You've got
for the next seller. Yes, and the seller of this home is fucking USC. Like, you have to negotiate with the university.
Can you imagine searching the auditor's website and being like, who bought the house down the street? Oh, the University of Southern California. Well, that's a little weird.
Now, hold on.
If I live in that neighborhood, though, I'm like, man, look, I got lots of money, but I'm using that for my selling point. I'm selling my house now. Like, you know, USC just bought the house down the street.
Put it up. The comps just went crazy in this neighborhood. $500,000 over asking. Fucking list it right now.
That's what I'm saying. Seriously, they threw that shit all out of wordy.
This is such an old
nerdy. My house just gained $500,000 worth of value. I have to go sell it today.
Also,
I just want $500,000 over asking.
Here's what's crazy about this for Lincoln Riley. They bought him another house. Like, they own the house that he lives in. So it's literally they're just paying him an extra $1 million just in terms of real estate. They're like, all right, yeah, we got you. We'll reimburse you.
And then they're stuck with that real estate.
What? Are you kidding me? This is how they pay for part of his contract.
Who's going to buy that? Who's going to buy that off of USC at a markup of $500,000 higher than what it was listed at? Nobody.
Michael, there is an idiot
took it
born
in the
every minute.
On that house.
Come on.
You know they're just going to knock it down. They're just like, fuck it. We don't even care. Bulldoze it. Who gives a shit? Burn it down and piss on the ashes. Fuck you, Norman.
Put up a parking lot and charge rich people to park their fucking cars there.
We'll get Brian Kelly's grad assistants to shovel it.
Do they talk about how they're going to bulldoze and purchase college football coaches' houses and shit? Like, is there what's the hot goss? Like, this is terrible.
This is fantastic, and I wish we had saved this for the show. Damn it!
Want to hear? Like,
damn it!
Heard
old suburban dads. I mean, oh God, I could get that.
I need the president to be here at signing. Where's the president of the school to be here to sign at the paperwork at closing? I demand that he be here.
I want USC to be asking for concessions. This is all contingent. This is contingent on an inspection.
What's that, is that mold? Nope, deal's off.
We're hiring our own inspector. This is contingent on their inspection.
But see, here's the thing, dude. At the same time, you know there's a bunch of fucking crazy Oklahoma Sooner fans that would pool their money and buy that house and do something with it. Burn it to the ground, raise it, turn it into Airbnb. Like, there's going to be someone there that would then buy that house from USC for $500,000 over asking because they have a business idea to get their money back. Guaranteed.
Sure, but the point being, USC has to sell it for, you said that's how they make back their money on the contract. So they're already having to sell pay $500,000 over asking. So now you have to get somebody to pay $500,000 over that $500,000 that they already paid over. So you're asking somebody to pay $1 million and you're still only getting $500,000 back of this ridiculous. That doesn't even cover a sixth of the house they bought him. What I'm saying is you're wrong, Drew. You're wrong. You can pretend to be asleep. You're wrong.
Sorry.
You're wrong.
Were you talking about something that was entertaining and important?
Yeah, no, I get it. I don't like to be proven wrong either, so I like to just shut down the conversation.
No, look, I'll admit when I'm wrong. Like, sure, you're right. In terms of the financial return, I'm wrong. But the real point is, God damn, who fucking cares?
I do.
Seriously. Look, there's no interesting angle to take the usual coaching carousel, except for if ludicrous details like this come out. Like, otherwise, it's just the same old. Okay,
no. There's plenty of takes
like,
to take.
Nobody
like,
cares
first,
about him actually the going take there. Is, but the idea that the schools are now buying houses for these motherfuckers.
Wait a minute. What do you mean like, now they're buying? You mean this shit hasn't been going on forever? Because I would claim otherwise.
Shadow. I feel like this isn't a common occurrence that a school buys two houses where you live and then also a house where you're moving. Like, that cannot be a common occurrence, man.
He just took the headphones off now to totally ignore the conversation. Well, he doesn't no, he doesn't I want could, anything to do with this.
I could still
He's
hear him.
He's so wrong, he just took the headphones off.
I didn't take them off intentionally, to be fair. I'm trying to get the shadow out of my eyes so I can wear the logo at least to start the show.
Here's the best part, as always. They're like, we would rather take all the L's on all this real estate and do all these, jump through all these hoops to pay Lincoln Riley. And we don't want to pay the players.
Damn straight. There it is.
It's fucking insane. We will literally burn this money before we hand it to the fucking players.
We're going to have to cut things because COVID. It's really fucked with us. We're going to have to cut all these extra programs. Just can't afford it. Oh,
can't,
what's that?
Can't afford the girls. We can't pay the girls to play, man. What are we going to do?
Was that Lincoln Riley wants to come here? Buy two houses for $1 million over and buy him a $6 million pad. Let's roll. Oh, his family wants private jet access 24/7? Yep, deal. Fuel it up. Let's go.
Again, you
got what the fuck,
trees, dude?
It is They're fucking not, absurd.
The university's not paying shit for those private jets. Those are boosters jets. This shit has always been happening. It's just it's been the boosters and not the university.
Right. So now Drew, that's not the point. The point is the university threatened to close down, like shut down sports and take away scholarships from kids because they said they didn't have enough money when clearly they did because all they have to do is go to the boosters and say, hey, we need money for this. And the boosters are like, yeah, we got you. Oh, it only cost you $200,000 to run this girls' soccer program? Yeah, that's chump change. We're getting that on the interest we're making on the house we're renting in Norman fucking Oklahoma.
That's the thing. People are so surprised about this. This is the reality.
Jet fuel for this motherfucker. Like,
dude, college sports has been big business for decades now. And dude, like, it just the only thing that's changed is people are finally catching on.
I don't know if Lincoln Riley has kids and if they're of age or not, but let's say he's got like a teenage daughter. It is in his contract that his teenage daughter can go up and say, I want to use the private jet to fly to New York for the weekend. And they can't say no.
Wait a minute. Time out.
2 a.m. She's drunk and she's like, I'm going to New York. Let's go.
A minor can order up a plane.
Yes. It says unlimited access for him and his family 24/7.
Is that what it actually says?
I want to make that demand at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
I want to go to New York right now for a pastrami on rye.
You know, that a boy, Scott. I was going to say, like, I need a Whataburger. Sir, you're hammered. It's 3:30 in the morning, and I don't think you can stand. Doesn't matter.
You know what?
Have you seen my daddy's contract?
If it's teenage, I was going to say even teenage daughter. Dad, they're trying to say no. Okay, fine. Just get on the fucking plane.
You know what sounds good? Spaghetti and meatballs. Okay, we can take you to a restaurant. No. I want them in Italy. Gas this motherfucker up. Let's go.
And then the best part is over the Atlantic, you pass out cold. You wake up and you're like, why the fuck are we in Italy?
What? Who the fuck? Why did you kidnap me and bring me to Italy? This is bullshit.
Because I would be like, no, fly me back to America because I meant SpaghettiOs, motherfucker. That's what you eat when you have a hangover, not this fucking shit.
It's cheaper for us to actually birth a child, name him Chef Boyardee, raise him to become a chef, and fix you an authentic Italian dinner than it is for us to fly you to Italy and get fucking spaghetti and meatballs at this moment. And they're like, oh, well, it's in the contract. I guess we gotta fucking do it. Fucking crazy.
Let's get this shit started.
What are we doing?
Oh my god.
You know what we're doing, god damn it.
No, I had a whole entire world initiated.
Amazing. Wow.
It really was, man. That was really fun. Like,
and what are the odds Notre Dame announces Freeman 20 minutes after? I'm like, what are we doing? Just fucking announce Freeman.
the timing, like, I can't remember a show that started off so well, like, when, you know, us pre-show screwing around, that just rolled right into the show just taking off from there.
Yeah, it's normally we like pre-show we're all right, but it takes us a while to get the wheels going once we go live. But this one we were ready to go. Credit Mookie and coming in strong with his anger at Brian Kelly.
You did. That was good, man.
You're muted, Mook. Hang on. You're still muted. Stop talking. Okay, now you're good. And now you're not talking.
Are we recording?
Yeah, but nobody can hear you because you're nowhere near your microphone.
Oh, right. I put it over here.
It's weird. Like the thing sits on the thing. I don't know, man. I was bending stuff. Shit happened. Look, all I got to say is, and I'm going to try really, really hard to not fuck up in the post game, but I'm just glad I got through that entire thing. And I didn't call Brian a bad thing. Like, I didn't call him one of those five words you can't say on radio in 2021. Cause that little motherfucking piece of shit, leprechaun eating asshole motherfucker. I swear to God. I've taken shits that have more integrity than he does.
But why do you say that? Why do you say take more that have more integrity? He went for more money. He went for an easier path because why wouldn't you go for an easier path? He's guaranteed $100 million. Even if he fucks up and he gets fired, there's a buyout that's gonna be multi-million dollars. Why were you okay that he did that to UC but not that he did it to Notre Dame?
He probably wanted USC,
would have been a dick punch. If he went to USC, that would have been a dick punch. I would have been upset about that one. I would have been mad if he went USC.
Oh, I would stab him in his face.
That's the best one.
The thing is, when he left UC to come to Notre Dame, I didn't like how he did that either. But at the same time, I really didn't give a shit because I want to win football games. Now, being on the other side of it, I get the business side, but I don't want to hear this goddamn lip service of, I love you guys, you're my family, and blah, blah. Like, dude, just be up and up about it. Just get the fuck out of here and call it what it is. If you're going to be that much of a politician, then be that much of a politician. Also, Sherm, what the fuck is that?
That's my office.
Well, you got like a cute little like hutch thing.
Yeah, it's got my Funko Pops. It's got my record player, little printer down there. Joey Votto autograph up there.
Yeah, but my biggest problem is where are Scott and I?
Pray your heart.
Now, okay, that's a good comeback. That's a good call. No, but like the thing is, it like I get, and the other thing is too, though, Mike, when you talk about going from UC to Notre Dame, that's a big jump up in competition, especially given the time period. But now with Notre Dame and LSU, like to me, again, what are you actually gaining? Other
money.
Than,
I didn't even use money. This. $95 million. That's what he's gaining. $95 million guaranteed plus incentives. That's what he's gaining. It's about money.
I can't believe Notre Dame got outbid by that.
I don't think they wanted to. Okay, here's
Notre Dame. They had him for 12 years. They had him for 12 years, and he hasn't given him a title. Why are they going to buy into a decade at that price tag?
Exactly. I mean, he didn't give Notre Dame the chance to counter, which is fine because I would have been pissed if Notre Dame gave him $95 million in 10 years. He hasn't done anything to deserve that.
I also don't know what you and I have talked about because I can't keep all the conversations.
Oh, dude, there's so many conversations.
Dude, between email, hangouts, and text, it's impossible. But did you hear the thing that Swarbrick basically
gave him 3 years?
Yeah. He's like, you get 3 years, no extension, nothing. You said you're coming here and win a title, and you didn't. So there's a part of me that's like, yeah, I get the money move. I get doing that and popping out. But, dude, just be up and up about it.
But what are you going to say, Drew? You can't say that to you can't go in on a meeting at 7 a.m. and be like, listen, guys, $95 million. I mean, I love you. I would have stayed, but it's $95 million. I got to go.
I got to take that.
No, that's my point. Why can't you say
throw on something else?
Why can't you say that? What's wrong with that? And maybe
it's
don't say that.
It's 95 million, y'all. I know your black asses ain't turning that down. I got
to
go.
No, exactly. And I'm not faulting him for that. What I'm faulting for is the bullshit about I love you guys and like I want to do this right and all this other crap.
He probably does because he wouldn't have left if it wasn't $95 million.
Here's the other thing, though.
He would have left for 65 or 45 or an HJ from a hooker down the street named Trisha. Like, again, if someone's going to give him a teddy bit more than what he has now, he out. And look, I get it, but be above board about what you're about. Don't come in here preaching family, this other fucking bullshit. Nick Saban don't preach about family. He goes, we have a job to do. We're going to get done.
But at the same time, you know what he was about. Like, you saw how he came to you. Like, that's the
exactly
thing. You have to know that it's a possibility. Like, even if you think you're above it, like, it could happen because he's already done it twice.
He's a mercenary. Twice. He's a mercenary who wants the cash. He doesn't care about winning and losing. I mean, he obviously has to care about winning somewhat to keep his job, but he doesn't care about winning titles and whatever. All he cares about is fucking making bank. And I can't fault him for that. Get your bread, man. You're 60 years old. Hang on. He is 60 years old, and there's a school that's willing to say, we want you to be here until you're fucking 70. You haven't done shit to prove that you can win a title, but we want you to come here, and we're going to pay you over $100 million with incentives over a 10-year period to do it. Where's the Conor McGregor gift? Sign me the fuck up.
Here's what it is, Mike, and maybe this is where I was naive. Maybe that's on me, but when he went from GVSU to Central, Central to UC, and then UC to Notre Dame, you could believe it was because he wanted to win football games, not that he was trying to get paid. Because in those, there always steps up. But now this is the first time he showed his hand at truly not giving a shit about any of the football, but that was an ends to means of getting paid.
There's two things that
Are you mad because he showed his hand and showed who he truly was, or are you mad because he left? Because that's the thing. Like, maybe he's always been this guy, but it had the appearance because he was moving up a level and blah, blah, blah. Like, it looked like it wasn't. But now it's like, well, it just clearly was. Maybe he's always been that guy. Maybe he
look,
just
Scott, here's the reality. He could be the black Jesus that we all know, you know, brought us the beauty of Catholicism. And if he left Notre Dame to go coach another team, I'd hate him. 8% of this hatred is that he left us.
See, and that's the thing.
You just upset that that it doesn't happen to you.
Right, and that's the thing. I think Notre Dame fans feel hurt because their school isn't destination anymore. But that's what I was trying to get. That's the point I was trying to get to in the show was like, nobody's a destination anymore. Lincoln Riley left Oklahoma. That's a brand you don't leave unless you retire. Notre Dame is a brand you don't leave unless you retire. The money in college football right now is such a way that no job is safe. No school is safe. Alabama feels safe because they have Saban. He's not going anywhere. I bet you Clemson is scared that Dabo's going to go somewhere. Like, Bill Sweeney is absolutely the type of guy who is going to take cash and go.
William is going to run his course. He's not going to go anywhere. He's fallen off.
I guarantee you, though, if Mario Cristobal leaves Oregon and takes, like, the Miami job when it opens up, and Oregon comes to Dabo and they go, we'll pay you $150 million over 10 years, Dabo is out. He will turn tail and leave that Southern drawl behind and get decked out in Nike gear as quick as he can.
Because fucking Jimbo left Florida State for Texas A&M. That's how you know that's true.
Right. You said it before the show, you said it during the show, college football is just a business. People are just realizing it. And I think Notre Dame fans are starting to realize that they aren't the top of the business.
They're not immune to it.
It's all cash, baby.
And Mike, I'm not disagreeing. I know that, again, the majority of this is emotional and just, you know, knee-jerk reaction. Because the other thing is, too, and honestly, I'm trying to remember this. When was the last time that Notre Dame got dumped?
1907. You know what I mean? 1907, a coach left for Wisconsin.
Are you joking?
No, I'm dead serious. It was a stat that came up. Brian Kelly is the first coach since 1907 to leave Notre Dame for another college position.
Right. And so
the only equivalency that I can think of in recent memory that this would even equate to, and I bet you if you go back and look at the fan base, they're probably the same way, is fucking Williams leaving Texas for UNC because it, or leaving Kansas for UNC.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, right.
If you're fucking Kansas, you think we're a blue blood program, we're a Final Four candidate. Why would anybody want to leave us? And he goes to UNC, and if you're Kansas, you would feel like, wow, we got fucking jilted for UNC, but like, aren't we on the same level? It's the same thing. And I guarantee you, Kansas had the same thought where they're like, oh shit.
But that's what I'm curious about, Scott, though, is like, project this forward a few years, right? So Lincoln's out in the Pac-12, right? Oklahoma and OU after next season, I think, then are in the SEC, right? So then you've got the SEC, and as far as I'm concerned, I think the Big Ten is pretty well anchored, right? Like, Ohio State does them a lot of favors. So you got those two. And then you've got the Pac-12 and the ACC on either end of the continent, and it's like, so what do you do with that? Because let's all agree the Big 12 is worthless. They're going to disintegrate, and they're going to swoop up all the mid-majors or whatever, but the big dogs are going to gravitate towards one of those others.
And that's like, how you know that's that for Brian Kelly, this is all about money. If he wins a national championship along the way accidentally, great. But it doesn't fucking matter.
I'm not talking about Brian. I'm talking about the college alignment. Like, how do you think that's going to shake out?
Here's how it's going to shake out. Here's how it's going to shake out. This is going to devolve. And they're starting it now with planting the seeds and looking at a 12-team tournament. They're expanding to 12 teams, right? And they're going to have their, you know, however they break it down. Every conference champion plus whatever at-large bids plus, you know, the group of five champion, however they screw it up when they present this. But what's going to happen is the SEC is already ballooning. You're going to have the Big 12 breaks off where some of them join the Pac-12, some of them join the Big 10, and the ACC breaks off where some of them join the Big 10, some of them join the SEC, and you have three conferences in college football. And that means four representatives – from all of those.
False. You have four. The SEC separates into two.
No, they're not going to break that money up. They're not going to break. No.
Well, so that's what I'm saying.
They're not going to break that money up.
It's not break the money up. It's the SEC, the Big Ten, and then either the Pac-12 or the ACC. Those three conferences kind of just join into one big conference, and they leverage the former conferences to set divisions, like the NFL. Right. So you go umbrella league with the Big Ten, the SEC West, the SEC East, and then the Pac-12 or the ACC. And those are your divisions. Four division winners automatically get in, plus whatever at large. And then you can pull from the leftovers.
I'm struggling to see how that's different from what I said, other than you have the SEC as two conferences in there, and that doesn't make sense TV deal wise. Point being, you already have the umbrella, and that umbrella is
the
college football playoffs.
Because
Jesus Christ, you son of a bitch!
I hate you sometimes. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's all coalescing to the same thing. And I get the move for the money to LSU. I get it. Like, that's a big fat check that's guaranteed. But I guess the part I struggle with, does LSU really have that much more of a shot than Notre Dame 3 years out? Right? Like,
no, they don't. I don't think they do. Right. I don't think they do. But that's not what it's about, Drew. It's not about who has the better shot. It's about, I am making, over the next 3 years, I could miss the college football playoffs at Notre Dame, or I could miss the college football playoffs at LSU and make $10 million a year doing it. Why wouldn't I do that?
Because when he gets fired, he still gets to keep the balance of the contract.
Exactly. It's guaranteed money. Those contracts are so ridiculously favored. They're paying LSU is currently they're going to be paying Brian Kelly $10 million a year, and they're paying Ed Orgeron the remainder of his $17 million or whatever they agreed to on the buyout.
But that's different, Mike. They're not actually paying it. They're actually just putting that in a they're putting it into retainers and then as a down payment into his eventual sexual assault and other bad crimes things with a lawyer.
But know. they're still paying Bo Pelini. They fired him as defensive coordinator. Yes, they fired
him. Playing Bo Pelini.
He was the defensive coordinator under Ed Orgeron. They fired him. God. He is back in Youngstown making $2 million a year just sitting at home in Youngstown watching his kid play football.
Dude, how much McDonald's do you think he eats? Like, I would just buy the bitch out every day.
Dude, he was coaching at Youngstown State. And he was still getting paid from Nebraska. So he was making a couple million from Nebraska and then got the job at Youngstown State and was getting paid from Youngstown State to coach them while getting a check from Nebraska, left Youngstown State. So he had a little buyout there and went to LSU as the defensive coordinator. And now he's getting money from LSU to sit at home and fucking do nothing. Just diddle his dick all day long. It's ridiculous. The money is ridiculous, dude. And that's why Brian Kelly's going. Because if he gets fired in 3 years, fuck it. All right, so I don't get all $100 million, but I'm getting 60 or 70.
And help him very ill health and no success in his future endeavors. Zero.
Zero success in his future endeavors. Seriously, what is LSU?
I mean, I don't feel like that's super rational.
Okay. Like, what is the end game for LSU? Because Orgeron wins the title, right? You fire him. Like, how many do you think – to me, he's got to win more than one.
Well, they didn't know. But, Scott, the difference was – the difference was Coach O at least had a tuna can. Brian ain't even got that.
Here's the thing.
He's working like a soy sauce packet.
LSU was trying to play 4D chess and it failed because when Marcus Freeman chose Notre Dame, LSU wanted him bad. They wanted him as the defensive coordinator bad. And he said, no, I'm going to Notre Dame. So I think this is my conspiracy theory. LSU had this in the plan from when Marcus Freeman chose Notre Dame over them. They said, fine, then we'll just get Brian Kelly and he'll bring Freeman with him. And then we get Freeman as our defensive coordinator, as the head coach in waiting. We deal with 3 seasons of Kelly sucking, and then we fire him and promote Marcus Freeman to our head coach. And that was their plan. That's what they wanted to do.
I hope to God that we find out that was what they were
doing. I mean, it's the only thing that makes sense. Why do you go after Brian Kelly? Brian Kelly is not a guy that you think – like. And now that Freeman got the job – and that's why Notre Dame had to hire Freeman, because otherwise they were going to make him the highest paid defensive coordinator.
But if you're LSU, wouldn't you make that a guarantee? Wouldn't you be like, you've got to bring
You can't. We're not you friends. Can't. You can't put Jeez. That in there. They had to run the gamble.
I mean, it's LSU. They could definitely be like, can you bring your boy with you?
Well, I'm sure they said that because the talk was make him the highest paid defensive coordinator in the country. He's going to name his price. He can make whatever he wants. He'll be the highest paid defensive coordinator. And now he's got the Notre Dame job. But here's what's going to happen. In 3 years when they fire Brian Kelly – do not, like, I guarantee LSU comes knocking at his door again. Like, Notre Dame is now, sure. Notre Dame has to be ready for it. They got blindsided this time. Cool, whatever. It was a sneaky move by LSU in an effort to try to get Freeman on staff. Now you got to be ready for it, and you got to do everything you can to protect this dude.
Well, and I'm going to say it right now, too. That falls on you guys and everybody else, too, because if the fans don't, you know, ride him and respect him and make sure that they're confident in him wanting to be there, then he'll leave.
Like, that first 8-4 season when he has to deal with the shit that Notre Dame fans deal out, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty.
Like, I mean, y'all had better ride with him and let him get his shit together before souring on him, or he's going to be fucking gone.
Yep.
And he'll school will benefit.
And you know what? You thought this $95 million with Brian Kelly was crazy? Don't even think about what they'll offer Marcus Freeman when the time comes.
I still think LSU would get him easy, though.
I don't know. It depends.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing that, like, no one outside of Notre Dame country, like, gives a shit about Notre Dame. Like SEC, I couldn't even tell you where Notre Dame is.
No, that's fair. Dude, I actually was cracking up because the people on the radio in Cincinnati, everybody in Cincinnati has been freaking out that Luke Fickle was going to be named the Notre Dame head coach. And the people on the radio at Cincinnati were like, you know, it's not all about the money because you go to these bigger cities and like your money doesn't go as far. So yeah, you're making more money, but you're spending way more. I'm like, do you guys know where fucking South Bend, Indiana is? Like your money goes farther there than it does in Cincinnati. Like this is an actual city. It's not a big city, but it's bigger than South Bend, Indiana. But like, no, you're right. You're right, Christian. Like, they probably don't know, and Notre Dame doesn't have the shine that it does. And that's what I'm saying. Everybody is now open to this. I think there's only one program in the country that can feel safe knowing that their coach is not leaving, and that's Alabama. Everybody else, everybody, who else?
Georgia. Kirby Smart.
Nah, I don't think so. I don't know.
No, anyway, that's like his team. Like, that's his program.
But until somebody comes up with $200 million.
Jim Harbaugh, khakis ain't going nowhere.
They'll fire him before he leaves.
But my point being, they're like the programs that you thought were destination programs are not destination programs.
What's even funnier about what was just said is I actually think that Harbaugh is going to play this exactly how he should. Now that he's gotten him and everybody's riding high in Michigan land, he going to vote for the NFL.
I'm going to Chicago. Look at that. Matt Nagy just got fired. I'm going.
He shined his apple back up to where he's a prime name. And right when Michigan fans were dumping on him, because that's all I've heard the last 2 years, is they were out on him. They were done. They were ready for him to move on. And, you know, despite him being their guy, and now that he's beaten Ohio State, if I was him, I'd be like, NFL, who's here? Because I'm out. I'm done. Because he's not going to beat Ohio State next year. You know it. So he might as well.
Oh, no.
He's at the height.
Yeah. Well, but he's not at his height because what's going to happen is this Saturday he's going to shit down his leg and Iowa's going to beat Michigan.
Well, yeah,
and then he's right back down to reality.
That's why you take a job tomorrow. Like,
yeah,
tomorrow.
This
is like the lockout deadline for MLB. He's like, look, I've got to sign a deal.
Need a deal in place by 11:59:59 on Friday night. I cannot travel to Indianapolis with this team knowing that I don't have an NFL job locked up.
How funny it'd be the exact opposite of Brian Kelly's trying to keep it secretive. He's like, hey, guys, I didn't want to hurt Phil. Harbaugh's like, hey, fuckers. Like, look, I'm letting you know right now, I don't even want to make the plane trip. Like, I'm trying to get to the NFL right now. Guys, you've done it for me. I've got to get out of here now.
Harbaugh's group text is, hey, fellas, thanks for beating Ohio State. Help me get to Chicago. Peace out.
It's so true. He should be on the first thing smoking. Like, I gotta go.
He just sends like khaki pants emojis in the text somehow. It's like, what the hell is happening here, coach? Like, Harbaugh out. And they're like, this guy's a dick.
Like, he sends out a Friday afternoon group chat, wheels up. They're like, coach, we're not on the plane yet.
Hi, I'm Maria.
And I'm Mike. And we're
Team Ready. Black Hills Energy knows your home is where your heart is, so they want you to be ready.
It's all about keeping you safe, prepared, and making your home as energy efficient as possible.
Everything from how to weatherize your home to how to stay safe during extreme weather.
Be ready for anything. Go to blackhillsenergy.com/teamready.